Good evening, everyone. It's good to be able to bring our devotional today. I don't get asked very often, and that's okay. It's probably on purpose. But I just needed to see y'all smile. That's what it was about. Seems like there's a lot of downers today. There's probably a lot of downers in every generation, though, if you really think about it. Bad news sells, right? It really does. And that seems to be what we're hearing a lot more of, is bad news. Two psychologists, John Gottman and Robert Levinson, I feel like I'm really loud. Okay. They did a study. They were born in the 1940s, and they did a study in the 70s, and it was primarily focused upon happy marriages. Happy marriages. And a little bit about both of them. John Gottman was raised as a rabbi's son up in Brooklyn, and he actually practices, still does, being kosher, okay, as a Jew, kosher, which that takes a lot of dedication because there's clean animals and unclean animals and so on and so forth. Leaven on certain days, no leaven on other days. And then the other gentleman, John Gottman is a psychologist, professor at University of Washington and has so many accreditations, blah, 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 you know. And then Robert Levinson is a professor of psychology at the University of California, Berkeley. And he studies basically how emotions affect you physiologically. So like the, in layman's terms, the physical implications of your emotions. Okay? And what's funny is that the Bible already talks about that stuff. You can turn over to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30, and it says, "A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones." Mr. Reed pointed that out the other day in Bible class. And by using context clues there, sound and envy to be, you know, opposite of each other, you could even put something about a content heart. Someone that's content doesn't envy a lot of stuff. The ESV uses the word tranquil there, tranquil heart, meaning at peace. Job 5:2 says, "For wrath kills the foolish man and envy slays the silly one." Okay, so our emotions. And then Proverbs 17:22, "A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones." So here already we can see that God knows how our emotions can affect us physically. Our bodies, our minds, they're intertwined. You don't get one without the other. But what these two doctors discovered is that they formulated a ratio where they could predict if someone was going to get divorced or not. And that ratio is 5 to 1. Not 5 to 1, that's the number of times you're going to get divorced, but 5 to 1, it takes 5 good things, good interactions, to negate a bad interaction. So what they found is that in these marriages, if they had at least 5 times the amount of happy interactions compared to the negative interactions, they would stay together in these marriages. Now, this ratio has been studied in other relationships as well, not just marriages, but that's where these two came up with it, and it has been used in other relationships between people as well. So, here are 5 things why you should be happy to negate one of the negative reasons you shouldn't be, right? Here's 5 things that I came up with. Write them down so you can remember them, and then add to it, because there's a lot more than 5 reasons, okay? Number 1, God is Lord. God is Lord. Isaiah 45, verse 5. Here are the scriptures. Write them down. I don't have time for us to turn there and everything, but you can check me on it. Isaiah says, "I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me." This is Isaiah speaking to the people on behalf of God. Psalm 144, verse 15. In the second half of verse 15, it says, "Happy are the people whose God is the Lord." All right? And there's an exclamation point in a lot of translations right there. Where God is the Lord, exclaim it. Happy people, we're happy because God is Lord. Mark 12:29, Jesus answered him, talking about the man who said, what is the greatest commandment? He says, the first commandment is, this is how Jesus starts it, okay? Pay attention. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the Lord one. Okay, there's only one. He is Lord. That's something to be happy about. We don't have to be confused on that. It's a great thing, and He's in control. Number two, God loves you, and His love is patient. John 3:16, we can all spit it out without even thinking about it. For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, right? That whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. God loves us that much. And guess what else? In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. His love is long-suffering. He wants us to win. He loves us. Okay? Number three, Jesus loves you. Okay, that almost goes hand in hand with God loves you, but let's think about it for a second. Jesus loves you. John 15, 9 through 15 reads, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Now let me point this out. His love doesn't leave us, okay? What ends up happening is if we don't keep His commandments, we leave His love. It's still there. Loving us, we just have to get back in it, okay? So just point that out. Side note, sidebar, rabbit trail. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may remain in you. Oh, so we should be joyous, right? Because He loves us. And that your joy may be full. Oh, look, there it is. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that to lay down one's life for his friends. What did Jesus do for us? He laid down His life. You are my friends. Oh, He laid it down for us, His friends. Okay, let's keep reading. If you do whatever I command you, no longer do I call you servants. For a servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. He's putting us on level playing field. We're His friends, and He loves us. Number four, I love you, which means that I've got your back and you've got my back. Galatians 6, 1 through 2 reads, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I've got your back. And I need y'all to have mine. All right? Mark 12, 29 through 31 says, Jesus answered him. Again, this is going back to the gentleman that asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? The first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. The second, like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. There's a lot of stipulations in that love. If you go back to what we said earlier, we have to abide in the commandment so we can stay in the love, right? Well, same thing, okay? So that's a big paraphrase of the Bible. There's a lot more in the Bible than just that one sentence, two sentences, okay? Number five, here it is. We can do it. We have hope in heaven. We can do it. We can make it out of this thing. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. The He there has a capital H. When I was in sixth grade, I happened to have the same fourth and sixth grade teacher. She bumped up. She would do this when we had to underline something on titles. She'd do this because capital letters, okay? That is a capital H there. He fulfills His promises. He keeps them. He's faithful. He being God. And there's only one God. He is Lord, right? That's the number one reason why we're happy. Well, in my little outline here. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 3 through 4, we read something about heaven that's fantastic. The hope, okay? The hope of heaven. This is fantastic. Pay really close attention. This is John speaking, and I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, every single one of them. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." That's amazing. Think about all the stresses in your life. Think about it. They're gone. The worry about your health, the worry about finances, the worry about whatever it is, they're gone. There's no more. It's all over. And that's where our hope is. And our hope comes from God, the God. And he's faithful to keep his promises. Five things. I gave you five reasons to be happy today. Okay? To help negate maybe something that puts you in a bad mood today. My day started off terrible. I called Lindsay and I complained about it. I did. Felt good. Felt good to complain about it. But I needed five things, so here they are. I came up with five. There's so many more. You can go to any passage in the Bible and find something good to be happy about. But these are five big ones. But here's a kicker. Not everyone has hope in heaven. That fifth one, not everyone does. It's only for the members of the church. It's only for Christians. It's only for those that abide in the love. Remember my little rabbit trail I went on? That was on purpose. Okay? There's only one way to have hope. You have to obey the gospel. You just have to. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. You got to do it. And you got to believe that by obeying the gospel, you are saved. Going through the actions of obeying the gospel is not enough. It's got to be a heart thing. We can go into that real detailed if you want to later. I run out of time. Not my fault, though. We started late. Okay? So, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, we're about to sing a song. We're all going to stand. And we ask that you come down and make it known that you want to know what the gospel is and that you want to obey it, perhaps. Right? But maybe there's some here that obeyed the gospel and have fallen away. Because we know that that can happen, too. It's like a dog turning back to its vomit. Right? A hog back to the mire. Is that, am I remembering right? I think so. Mud. One of those. It's gross. All right, let's just think about it like that. It's a gross thing to see someone that was in favor with God fall out of favor with God. It's disgusting, but it happens. And that's why I've got your back and I need y'all to get mine. So if you need me to get your back today, or if you need someone here in this congregation that can help, make that known too, all right, as we sing this invitation song. We're going to stand and sing now.